May I speak in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The bishops are writing. We've got lots of children this morning, so let me try and say something that the children will understand. The bishops, these are my bosses, they've said that we've got to try and get young people to vote. You know, we've got an election coming up, yeah? You've seen the election? The new government, new prime minister, all that kind of stuff. So young people have got to vote, because lots of people don't vote these days. And it's very important that you vote, because if you don't vote, you get bad government. If you do vote, you get the government you deserve. So they want us to vote more. So I was thinking, you know, what could we do to make people vote more? Who would you vote for, and what would entice you to think, that's what I want? So I thought what we could do is we could design a little manifesto. Because all the political parties at the moment, they've got manifestos, haven't they? So what happens is they say, if you vote for us, we'll do this. For instance, if you vote for us, we'll reduce tuition fees. Now that means when you go to university, you won't pay as much back to the government. So that's a promise, isn't it? That's an election manifesto promise that's being made. They always keep these promises. So I want you to tell me, what would make you vote for a political party? What things could a political party do that you think, that's really good, I'll vote for them now? So this is a hard one. Can any of the children think of something that would be really good for a political party to say, this is what I'll do if you vote for me? What did you say, Vera? Yeah, yeah. Shut all the schools. Would that be something you'd vote for? No? You like school? Mum and Dad are watching, so you've got to be careful what you say, haven't you, really? Okay, well, we wouldn't really shut all the stuff down. What would be a good thing to put in a manifesto? Anyone can answer.
Pay teachers more.
Most people like school. Hands up, anyone under the age of 18 who likes school? No, you're not. Come on. You're not. You've got to be under the age of 18. I won't. Under the age of 18. Do you like school? Do you like school? Do you like school? Like that? Okay, like that? Okay. What about over here? Do you like school? You like school? See, school's good. Yeah. School's good. So pay teachers more. What else could we put in a manifesto? Yes, Wendy?
Stop penalising the poor.
So give more money to the poor people. Lynn?
Look after the NHS.
Look after the NHS. Free healthcare for all forever. Anything else? Sorry? Look after old people. Yeah, anything else which we put in a manifesto? I'm sorry? Control our borders. Yeah. Yes. Give food to poor people. Like it. Like it. Yeah, it's a good one. Look, if we wanted to get elected, you wouldn't say, for instance, I'm going to cut all the benefits for poor people. You wouldn't say, we're going to have to stop giving free healthcare for everybody. You wouldn't say, we're going to let whoever wants to come in and go out, and we're not going to keep a track on it. You would say things that would get you elected, wouldn't you? You'd say stuff that went down well with the public, because we like to hear stuff that's good for us and we are going to benefit from. We don't want to hear stuff that's going to make life more difficult. So before an election, politicians tell us what we want to hear. Now that is just the way of the world, because it's a democracy and they want your vote. It's just human nature, isn't it? Tell people all the stuff they want to hear. And that normally what happens then is when you get into power, you say, well, it's much worse than we thought it was. We're not going to be able to do all the things we wanted to do now. Oh, it's just so terrible. You can't believe how bad it is. We've opened up the books and there's no money. That's what happens. Okay. Now go back to Jesus. And he is asking people to follow him. So you'd think he might say, look, if you follow me, you won't have to get sick anymore because I'll make you all better. I'll give you jobs. Your relationships will all be really good. You'll find that things really go well for you. If you want to go into a car park, you'll always get a parking space. Right?
Free.
Free. Free. Someone said that to me last week at the cathedral. You know, they said, we pray for a parking space. We got here and there was a parking space. I thought, oh my gosh. Jesus gave you a parking space and he won't heal cancer. Oh. Look, Jesus could have said all kinds of things to make people follow him. And what he does in our reading today, instead of saying, you know, come after me and you'll have free everything, he says, if anyone would come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. The cross, we haven't got one in this church. In some churches, it's got a little man on it. Because the cross wasn't just a symbol. It was something that people were killed on. They used to stretch you out and put nails in. Horrible. So what Jesus was saying was, if you come after me, it could lead to death. And when this was written, the Gospel of Mark, it was written at a time when Christians were being killed. They were taking Christians and literally putting them on a cross because they were Christians. So they'd come along and they'd say, are you a Christian? And you say, yes. Right, on a cross. You can't be a Christian. You're going to kill you. So if you dared to be a Christian, it was really dangerous. And so Jesus is warning those who are going to follow him. Look, this isn't going to be a cakewalk. This is serious stuff. And I was looking on the internet just before I did the sermon. And I said, I've just typed into Google, Christians persecution. And up pops some of the Christian websites that are dealing with Christians who are currently being persecuted for their faith. And it had a list of the top 50 countries. The top 50. The Christians all around the world are being killed today. Today, Christians are being killed. Just because they're Christians. And do you see the stuff with the beheadings that took place recently? It's family service. But you can't dodge the lectionary. Christians having their heads chopped off. Not put on the crosses, but having their heads chopped off for being Christians. So Jesus is warning us that choosing to be a Christian isn't an easy option. And so he said, let's see what he says. He says, if you follow me, deny himself. That's the first thing, deny himself. Now remember, Jesus said, it's better to give than to receive. He talked about an example of what being a Christian means. Is like the man who helped someone who was, the man going from Jerusalem to Jericho, got attacked. He was left for dead in the road. Left for dead. And a man came along and he helped him, picked him up. And he put him on his donkey and he took him to a place to be looked after. And he got food for him and water for him. He said, Jesus says, that's what being a Christian's about. Caring for people. So today, people who, yes? Brilliant! Yes, it's called the Good Samaritan, that story. Absolutely. Good Samaritan. Jesus saying, thinking about other people, that's what it's all about, not thinking about number one. And so often we're told, if you want to get on in life, you look after yourself and you just think about yourself. And Jesus says, no, you've got to think of others. That's about denying yourself. It's not saying that you're not good. It's about saying, yeah, we're all good, but we've got to look after everybody because we're all God's children. Be prepared to look after other people. Be prepared for the tough road ahead. But then Jesus says, for if you do this, instead of losing your life, you'll save it. This is the way Jesus says to really find true peace and true happiness. Not in thinking about yourself, but thinking about others. And so it's a hard reading today. It's quite a hard one. But if we understand it, if we take to heart what Jesus is saying, about thinking of others and not just thinking about ourselves, living for others and not just for ourselves, following Jesus, then that's the way that we'll truly find happiness in this world. Amen.